Ashrei. Ashrei Yoshrei Vesecha. Ashrei Ho'isha Shalohelach Batsas Rishon. I spent some time yesterday preparing, unusual. Okay, and what I really, really discovered, I mean, this is not a discovery, this is something which has always been obvious, is there's a lot of overlap in the Mefarshim. We've been learning Treyasar and the other Nevi'im, there's a lot of overlap. Now, it's not nice to say overlap. The Yesoidos are the same in many of the commentators. It's just how they interpret it. And you know, there are different nuances, different approaches, but I feel that learning primarily the Mamon Chazal, I feel that learning the Mamori Chazal will go a very, very long way. Will go a very long way in achieving our goal in having an understanding of because we're not gonna go through every single thing. It's impossible. It's gonna be way, way too much. So we're just gonna be very, very selective. But I really want to learn every Rashi. That I want to do every Rashi, and I want to learn every, and I don't know every Maimar Chazal. The Likutei Shas is really astonishing. It is astonishing what they've done here in this volume. Just to go down a sefer like this, the Likutei Shas and Midrashi happens, they would just publish a sefer on Tehillim or on any sefer, and just have this alone. It's priceless. And here they just throw it in Derech Agav. It's very obvious.
From what I've seen, it's mainly the citation from the Gemara,
exactly,
rather
right.
than Medrash.
Well, no, it's both.
They introduced this.
There was. Yeah. There was another work before Arshul came out years ago. We were learning. There's another publication that did. There are others. There's Torah HaTamima. There's a set of svarim called to play on the Torah Tamima. There's the classic Torah Tamima who did pretty much this on Chumash, Chamisha Chumash Torah. And then there's someone who came along later and copied the Torah Tamima, and he called it the Torah HaTamima on Nevi'im Yiksuvim. And he pretty much did the same thing. He collected all of the Mamori Chazal. And then there was another person who put out, I used to use it here in the Shir all the time years ago. I forgot what it's called. I think it's called Oitzer HaMidrashim, I think it's called. There's other titles called Oitzer HaMidrashim, but this was it had a green cover set on the entire Tanakh, a green cover with just the Mamori Chazal with Nikudois presented in a very pleasurable way. The art scroll basically did the same exact thing. They did the same thing that Torah HaTamima did, and they did the same thing that the Oitzer HaMidrashim did. And they just put it on the page of the Megillos Gedolos together with Rashi, the Mitzudos, the Radak, and the Malbim, and some other selected Mefarshim. And their collection is not the same as the Torah HaTamima, and the collection of what it says, Oitzer HaMidrashim, is not the same. Each Mechaber selected what he felt was on point, appropriate. And it seems that if you take a look carefully, I have no idea who the editor who did this. I don't know who did this. I have no clue who did this. Who the editor is who did this. It's a lot of work. And today, obviously, it's a lot easier to do something like this because we have computers. And you just type in the pasuk and the computer will spit out every single medrash that mentions these words. But it would appear from going through what we learn is that, you know, it's infinite. You can go, the computer will put out an enormous amount of midrashim that quote these psukim. It seems the things that they quoted here on the bottom are really quoted by the mefarshim on the page. If the Radak will quote a chazal, you can guarantee you're going to find it here on the bottom. If Rashi will quote a chazal, you're going to find it, obviously. If the Malbim will quote a chazal, you're going to find it here. So it seems that their selection was focused on what Mamore Chazal were cited by the major commentators on the pasuk. So by going through what they write here, I think we really accomplish, we get quite a bit. Let's go through the Mizmar Aleph, Ashrei Ho'ish Asher Lo Yalach Batzas V'Shoim V'Derech Hatam Lo Yomod V'Moshe Leitzim Lo Yoshem. It's a very long pasuk in the standards of Nach. Now, what does it mean, Ashrei Ho'ish? So here we have to come to the Mitzudeis David. The Mitzudeis David says, Sipurei Tehilois Ho'ish. The praise is the telling over of man's praises. The praises basically is the praises of man. Now, that's not the typical way we would translate the words Ashrei Ho'ish. I would thought always it means fortunate. Fortunate is the person who, Asher, Lehalach Vatsas Rishon, O Shalom Aleichem, give a special welcome to Mark Planik, who has come to us with Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Mark, you know they say that people who come back from Eretz Yisrael, they're not allowed to polish their shoes.
That's true. I hope from that.
It's good to see you. I missed you very much.
Even before I go to
Someone who comes to Yisrael, you're not supposed to polish your shoes. You're supposed to keep the dust of the Holy Land. Some people go even further. They don't take a shower for a long time.
Yeah, he keeps that also.
And these even walk in the marathon.
Any excuse.
I did the marathon.
Yeah.
Not the 20 miles.
Okay, it is so good to see you. Welcome. You look Baruch Hashem great. You look like you have the glow of the Holy Land that's resting upon you.
You look like you're ready to go.
Baruch Hashem.
I am.
You came just on time. Just on time for Tehillim. So the Pasuk here is Ashrei. So I always assume the words Ashrei Ish mean praiseworthy is the man. Happy. Either happy is the person. Asher leholach, you did not go in the Atzas Rish. Did not follow the...
Or fortunate.
Fortunate. Fortunate is the person that did not travel, follow the advice of the wicked. Happy is the person that did not follow the advice of the wicked. Praiseworthy is the man that did not follow in the ways of the wicked. That's what I always thought. But the Mitzudas doesn't say that. The Mitzudas seems to say it means if another person will want to assess and praise another human being, the shevach, the praise of a person, is found in what he did not do. It's a very profound idea. Ordinarily, you can imagine a person goes, Achamev, a person goes to a funeral, and they are maspidim, and they get up, and even less even someone is tapped to deliver a eulogy. So what do you do? What do you do? You say you speak about Gesundheit, Rableza or Gesundheit, Asusa. What are you supposed to do? A person who is given the task to deliver a eulogy, you say all of the good things that he did. He gave a lot of tzedakah. He was makariv many people that were distant from Hashem. He learned a lot of Torah. He built an outstanding family. He devoted himself to Hashem and Hashem's Torah. A eulogy is always about what a person does. Isn't that the way it is? When you eulogize a person, you talk about all of his praises, all of the good things. Okay, you're certainly not going to get up and say, oh, but when I say, you know, by the way, this guy, you know, he was a felon, he sat in prison for 20 years. You're not going to do that. You're not going to do that. You're not going to go and say all of his averus. You're going to say all of the good things. Did you ever go to a eulogy where they said, you know what he didn't do?
He didn't go to prison.
He didn't go to prison. Exactly. He didn't get caught. He didn't steal. He didn't go on vacation to Las Vegas. He didn't go to he had a Yetzer Hara to go to Atlantic City, but he didn't go. That's ridiculous. No one in their right mind would go and say over at a eulogy all of the things that he did not do. Along comes the Mitzudeis David, and he says, excuse me, that all these fellows are wrong. That's what you're supposed to do. Ashrei Ho'ish, according to the Mitzudeis David, is the praises of a person are this, what he did not do. Ashrei Ho'ish, Sipurei Tehilois Ho'ish. The Sipur means the telling over. The telling over, the expression of praises that one can say about a person. After everything is said and done, when the person's time comes and he leaves this world, and now it's time to give over, to relate to the world, that this person was a praiseworthy person. You know what you say about him? Asher loy holach batzas rishoim. What he did not do. Isn't that amazing? This goes against the grain of every convention that we used to in this world.
We always have to make an assumption that he's in an area where there are rishoim.
That's true. That he had a yetzahara. He was able to overcome. Overcame the.
I don't recall the story, but there was a via of a guy who was in the mafia.
Okay.
What they were mastering him was that he was an honest guy. Everyone came to him to solve their problems because they knew he would solve the problem.
Hey, that's a positive thing.
But they say he didn't have the gift. He didn't take money from himself.
Okay, he didn't say so. Okay, exactly. Okay, fine then. But this is a shocking thing. If you go and listen to Yerim Hol.
Yeah, the term ha'ish suggests also something. It's not ashrei-ish. You have that other, but it's ha'ish. It's somebody with chashivas, certain chashivas attached to it. It's a title, practically.
It's a title. Okay, that's another point. Why does it say with the hey idea ha'ish and not ish? Okay, the person. That's another important point.
Ashrei
ish, ashrei hagever. You look at the Mincha Shai. The Mincha Shai there says there are four psukim that talk about people, ashrei. Ashrei, on the very, very bottom of the page, it says here there are four people. We'll come to a little bit of time for that. Okay. There are four different, ashrei hagever, ashrei odom. Then there's the ashrei, two ashrei odoms, and here it's ashrei ho'ish. Okay, so you're right, that's the point of why is there a hey ha'idia. But besides that point, there's an incredible chiddush of the Mitzvah Savit. And he's saying, again, to review, most of us, including myself, especially, I always translated the words, Ashrei Ho'ish means praiseworthy. Praiseworthy is the individual that did not end up in the wrong place. Happy is the person. He's a happy person because if he would have joined the mafia, he would be miserable. Praiseworthy, happy, fortunate is this person. That's not what he says. He says Ashrei is a word which means the praises of. The praises of Ho'ish, of a man, comma, is that Asher l'holach batzas v'shoim. So at a eulogy, after 120 years, you get up and they say, this man, you know what we can say good about him? He didn't join the mafia. And obviously, as Rameir says, it means he had an opportunity to do so. Yeah?
But I was just reading now. A person is basically born with the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah comes on later on. Was there and it leaves.
Excellent. So proves the point. What you're saying proves the point.
But everybody has that Yetzirah.
Right.
And he was able to
overcome it. Exactly. Exactly.
So that is most probably.
Exactly. All of the good things that a person does is fluff. Very good, he did this, he gave tzedakah, he built institutions, he has a beautiful family, he did this. Okay, these are all beautiful things, let's not kid ourselves. Everything is a wonderful thing. But if you want to talk about what is the shevach, what is...
The strength of this.
Okay, that's, so you're saying a new word, Ashrei, you're saying is strength. Okay, it's a similar word. He says here, Sipur, this mitzvah stuff, it is an explosive. It's an explosive statement, what it says here in the Mitzvah stuff. None of the other commentaries say it the way he says it. Some of them really allude to it. You would miss it if you wouldn't pay attention. But he's saying Sipurei Tehiloi So'ish. Maybe that's why Rabbi Chol is a Hei Ha'idea. Because we're talking about the person from the perspective of someone else. We're not just saying, oh, this person, I'm a happy person. He's an Ashrei, a person is happy if he doesn't follow. The reason why it says so is because the person is gone, or the person is on the side, and we are assessing him.
Yes.
Other people are coming out to assess Ho'ish, the person in the corner, the person in the box, the person over there. We are coming to make this assessment. What is his praise? His praise is, as Dr. Stern just said, a person comes into this world, he's born with a Yetzer Hara. ki yetzer leiv ha'odom ra min ur. When does the person first get a yetzer toiv? 13 years later, when he's bar mitzvah. The yetzer hara has a 13-year head start. 13-year head start from the yetzer. So therefore,
if a 10 or 11-year-old has a tendency or an interest in doing toiv, all he has is the yetzer hara. Where did that
Child, good question. It's a very good question. I don't know. It's a Chazal say, a person, the Yetzer Tov comes to the child when he's 13 years old. So you're saying, how then do we find little children? They're very good. Some of them, at least. They're very, very good. They're very good.
I just started to talk about this, and the person was saying, yes, but that's the good parts we find in the children.
Because the parents.
The parents behave.
It's primarily the parents.
Psychology, behavioral psychology.
So he's saying, he's answering your question, is that it's not real. I mean, it's hard to say that. There's something superficial about their good deeds. And their good deeds are really a reflection of their parents. The parents, they come on them very hard to be good. So they follow in the ways of their parents. But for them to make their own decision to be good, they need the Yetzer Tov. The Yetzer Tov comes to a person for real, according to Chazal, when he's 13 years old. I mean, whatever that means, okay, well, obviously there's a gradual process, it doesn't happen overnight. Obviously, it comes to a person when he's 13 years old, and that's where he has now the ability to combat the Yetzer Hara. And if he succeeds, he's not Halach Batzas Rishoim, we can then say about him, this person is praiseworthy. This is a very great person. So the Mitzvah's David here is really powerful. It is over the top powerful, what he's saying, what the words really mean. There is a person, Ha'ish. He's been put on the side.
What is
it, sir? Rapport. Good morning, Mr. Rapport.
I know.
Okay, by the way, where was online? My video camera is not working. I have to reboot the computer during the break.
I'll move the microphone.
Okay, I'll reboot. Okay, Mr. Rapport, my video is not working. My video is not working. I'll put on the video later. I'll put on the video after the break, after we boot the computer. In the meantime, the sound, I think you can hear me. Is that correct? Okay, Blaise told me that the sound is working, but the video will do after the break. Okay, so this is the
test. Everything is test. No halach.
So Rashi addresses this. Rashi is going to really address this. Well, let's do some of the psukim, okay. And we'll come to this. Right? Rashi is really going to clear. Okay, so that is the opening line of Asher Ha'ish. We look like the Mitzvah David. He takes the lead here in this. We are not translating the words fortunate, praiseworthy, happy as a person, but we're translating it. We have here a person, Ha'adam, and we as society are coming to assess, evaluate. Who is this person? What is his true worth? And a person's true worth, in for real, is what he does not do. Is the decision he makes not to do an aver. That's an incredible thing. How many times do we have in misyonos? We know we're being pulled to do an avera, and we decide, no, I'm going to do the right thing. We're being pulled go to a store. If you pay cash. There's no tax. No, I did not pay cash. I paid with the credit card, so they should charge me tax. Okay? You have then created for yourself who you are. It's what you did not do. It's not what you did do. I had an nisayon to look at something that's not appropriate, a yetzahara, and I decided not to look at it. That creates, this is the ish. You have now created for yourself a new dimension of who you are. I went to learn Torah. I went to daven. It's very nice. You did a mitzvah, you're going to get eternally reward, but that's not the ish. That's not a definition of who you are. The ho-ish, the definition of who you are, according to the Mitzvah David, how we learn Sigum Shan the Pasik, is every time the Yetzer Hara comes knocking on your door, and come with me, come, and you say to him, no, I am not going to do this, I will not do this, I will not do harm, that is the essence, you have now creating who you are. Somebody once told me, I know this person is probably going to listen to this later. And is that they were watching I don't know what, a video, an interview with a Goyish celebrity, a non-Jewish celebrity, and they asked, the celebrity seemed to be very humble. It was like, are you talking such a thing? And they said, what are your legacy? The person interviewed asked the question, what do you want your legacy to be? And the person said, do no harm. I'm not looking for anything positive. I just want to leave this world, and it should not be said about me that I've caused anyone harm. Do no harm. That's explosive. That's not much what it says here.
Isn't that part of the doctor's oath?
First, do no harm.
Do no harm, yeah, that's what it says. That's part of the oath?
Yes.
To do no harm? Really? don't get me started. Okay? Don't get me started, but it's an incredible thing. That's really, if you want to define what is the ish, the ho-ish, what is the ashrei, what is the shevach, the praise that we will say to define who this person is, it is all of those events in his life that he chose not to follow in the ways, not to follow the Yetzer Hara. Asher, the praises of the Ha'ish is that Asher loy holach ba'atzas rishon. He did not follow in the ways in the counsel of the wicked of the derech chatoim. There are three different parts over here, and the derech of the chatoim loy omar, he did not stand uve meishav the leitzim, and in the company of the leitzim, people who we need a good word, the scoffer, that's not really such a great word, but we'll use it now, lo yashav, he did not sit. There appears here to be repetition, three different categories, which we'll discuss in a moment. Okay, let's now go to Rashi. Rashi, Ashrei Ha'ish, so Rashi introduced the Sefer with, according to the Sifsei Zekein, with a very interesting question. In the time of Chazal, in the middle...
Does anybody know, is Rabbi Levin coming on today? Hello?
Hello, Mr. Rappaport, do you hear me?
He's coming on?
Mr. Rappaport, do you hear me?
Obviously not.
Okay, his mic is not hearing me. Rabbi Lazer, do you hear me? Yes, Rabbi Lazer says he hears me. Okay, Baruch, you hear
send
me?
Send him a message. Yes.
Okay, so Mr. Rappaport, you call him up? Okay, he doesn't. The video is not working, but the sound is working. Okay, let's go further.
You're gonna have to mute him.
Okay, so now let's go to Rashi. Now, according to the Sifsei Zeken, he's asking a very powerful question. That is, in ancient times, it was a very, very big hakpata that you should put your name. You should identify who you are the author of this book. That's what you're supposed to do. Every zemer, almost every piyut has an acrostic with
a signature.
The signature of who is the author of the sefer. So nowhere in Sefer Tehillim does it say who the author of Tehillim is. In Mishlei, I'm not familiar. Even though we learned all these things, we should know. But let's say
it
Mishlei.
It says Mizmor LeDavid.
Not in the beginning of the Sefer. It says there's a Mizmor LeDavid. It does not say that the entire Sefer was composed by David. We have Mishlei Shlomo. Mishlei, it says in Midli, Shlomo wrote five books. He wrote five books. And all of the five books...
He's on now.
Okay, all of the five books, it says who the name of the author is. It makes it very clear somewhere in the Sefer that Divrei Koheles Ben David Melech B'Yerushalayim. Who is it? It says Koheles. These are the words of Koheles. Melech B'Yerushalayim. Koheles was a name for Shlomo HaMelech. Every Sefer, it is critical for the reader to know who has composed, who has authored this work. And Sefer, and every piyut, look at all of the piyut, look at the acrostics, look at the kinos. Look, that's a particular mizmar. That's a mizmar. But a Sefer as a whole, the person who's compiling the Sefer should make it known, I am the one who takes responsibility for this compilation. You know, you have to, Tehillim is anonymous, which is a shocking, right? The answer, there's really no answer to this question. Tehillim really is anonymous. There are many mizmarim which make it clear that it was written by the. See, there are 10 people who contribute to the writing of Tehillah, and obviously Bereishim is David HaMelech, but it does not tell us anywhere who is the one that is responsible for this collection of psalms. Who is the one? Is that goes against the grain of almost all of the Sifrei Tanakh and all of the Piyutim and all of different collections of the different poems and, you know, our liturgy. We know who wrote it. Okay, so to some degree, that is what Rashi is coming to address, at least according to the Sifrei Zakenim. It says, Asher Ish, Biasara, Lashonas.
But there are many Sfarim in Tanakh.
No, not really. It's called Megillas Esther. It says Beferish at the end of the Megillah that it was written by Esther and Mordechai.
At the end.
How about Shmuel? Shmuel Alf and Shmuel Bush.
So it was written by Shmuel. Since these are the words of Shmuel, we assume it was written. Okay, we assume it was written by Shmuel. I think the Gemara actually discusses every single sefer. Who is the author? Who is the author?
The Gemara comes to tell us. It doesn't tell Beferish and Shoftim. Who wrote Shoftim?
So it's who?
It's not explicitly stated.
You make a good point. It's true. So let's limit the question then to Ksuvim.
Okay.
Let's limit the question to Ksuvim. But I'm telling you, I did not say it correctly. In the Sifrei Zakenim here in the middle, he brings up this point. Okay, let's see the Rashi. Then maybe if we'll succeed, we'll come back and address that point.
You would not know Eichel was written by Yirmiyahu, except it's written in Sefer Yirmiyahu that he had given it to the Melech, and he ripped it up, and it became the four Parakim of Eichel.
Eichel. That was. Okay. How else will we know it? I don't know. I don't know the answer. Okay, let's see. You're right, but the question is still a good question. You can ask the question on those Sefarim then as well. Why is it not explicit? The author of those svar. It's critical to know who wrote the sefer, so we should accept it. We have to know, if you don't know who wrote the sefer, even today it's not enough just to write a sefer. You have to have a haskama on the sefer in order for it to be accepted.
Okay, so
but at least you can't write an anonymous sefer. Okay, let's see the Rashi. Rashi says, Ashrei ho'ish, ba'asara ba'aseres l'shoynes minei zemer nemar sefer zeh. Okay, there are 10, Rashi first begins by telling us that if you'll study the Sefer thoroughly, you will discover there are 10 different types of musical instruments that are found in this Sefer. Many of the Mizmor begins Lamatzeach. For example, what does it mean on Lamatzeach? Nitzuach. What does that mean? So many people will just tell you that it means for the conductor. This Mizmor is given for the conductor, and he should proceed to lead his orchestra and his vocals in the proper fashion. That's one interpretation, and believe me, we'll obviously get discuss some of this. But Rashi in the beginning of the Sefer does not say that. Rashi says that Mitzuach is a musical instrument. Bil aseres l'shoynos mine zemer, especially if you add in the gears of the mine, varieties of song. Nemar sefer zeh binitzuach lamnatzeach binigun lamnatzeach biniginois mizmor, right? Bimizmor b'shir b'halel tefila l'moshe b'brocha b'baruch Hashem li'olam amein v'amein b'hoidoa b'ashrei, here is an ashrei, and b'haleluka. Haleluka is not the same. Notice this is very fascinating, that the word haleluka is not the same as halel. The average person would assume that Haleluka is the same exact thing as Halel. It's Haleluka, praise Hashem, as in Halel. Yet Rashi says Haleluka. Okay, we always assume that Haleluka is holy. Halelu, Yud, and then the letter Hey, praise Hashem. He says no. Haleluka is one, it may mean that, but this expression Haleluka is not to be confused with an expression of Hallel. So in total, there are 10 different types. Now I told you 10 different types of musical instruments. I don't know if each one of these things was accompanied by a specific musical instrument. Maybe it was. Maybe it was not. And does not. When I say it was specific, what I mean is it took the lead. As we all know, there are certain types of melodies, there are certain instruments that take the lead in its being presented. some songs the violin takes the lead. In other types of melodies, you have someone on the piano will take the lead. Some will take a trumpet. Every type of melody, obviously, you have an orchestra, and you have many different types of instruments. But certain types of melodies lend themselves to having a particular instrument be the central focus of that melody. I don't know if you ever read Mishpacha magazine. In the back of the magazine, they have a column every week about Jewish music, and there are groupies who are obsessed with Jewish music. And the Bekiyas and some of the things they write about there in these two pages in the back of every week when they publish this magazine, it's really fascinating. You have to really be very fluent in the Jewish music world to even read one sentence of what they're talking about there. So I when I read it, I'm humbled because I don't understand one word they're talking about. Those two pages there, I literally do not know what it is. Things they write there, and they interview people, and they talk about this melody, that melody, this time, that one, this singer, going back 20 years, 50 years ago, today, this. It's humbling to read how people, the keyest people have in these things. But one thing caught my attention not long ago, and they had exactly this point. Which melody, which musical instrument is critical for particular events and particular songs? And I remember there's one famous musician, he talks about the flute. And he said, at this event, the ikur is the flute. The flute brings out the neshama. You cannot sing this melody. You cannot perform at this type of event. I don't know what he's referring to. Maybe talking about a chuppah he's talking about. I don't know what he's referring to. And he goes going on and on. The flute is what achieves the goal of what this melody is all about. And the same way that's true when it comes to what he was referring to in his opinion, there are certain melodies, the violin, the string instruments. Even among the string instruments, there are different types. You have the harp, and you have violin, you have cello. And then you deal with the wind instruments, certain types of music. You need the trumpet. Every melody, every mood, not only needs the words, not only needs the appropriate singer, you need the appropriate musical instrument. So all of these things are intertwined. The words, the musical instrument, the one who is actually singing, you have children. Everyone sees, you go to certain events where they have children and they have adults, and they mix them together. It creates a mood. It creates a feeling. It creates a whole ambiance. And here, when he writes here, "Biasaro l'shoynos mine zemer nemar sefer zeh," he's saying that Sefer Tehillim captures the totality of song to Hashem, not just song in words, in life events. David HaMelech's entire life is spilled out for the whole world to see. It's not just every type of situation, every type, and not only are this Sefer going to span time from Maisa Bereshis all the way to the end of days. We're going to have here from Adam HaRishon, and you have here Mizmorim from David, of course, and from Moshe, and from all different types of that span time. It's also, not only do we have throughout the entire Sefer Tehillim, do we have different types of musical instruments that span, we have also different types of expressions. And those expressions are defined with these, the Aseres Lashonos, different Lashonos, we have 10 different words in this Sefer, Mine, varieties of song, Nemar Sefer Zeh.
Benitzuach, yeah. You said before, Haluka. I think if it's two words, it's Haluka. I don't say Obadiah, I say Obadka. It's a word.
Milara.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a word.
It's one word.
It's not two words. It's not ka. You don't have to use that.
Okay, so there's a machlokes. Some do, some don't.
Right.
Some say that look, Betel. You never heard someone say.
Especially when
Basel, Betkel. Okay, you never saw someone go to. I'm going to Basel. No, you never heard that.
Nobody says a vodka.
You're right. Okay, Hallelujah maybe. I don't know. When I was a child, they taught us that Hallelujah is different. Hallelujah. I think, if I'm not mistaken, that many people they don't say it. They say Hallelujah. They view it to be sacred. Okay, we'll see. But Mir Tashem, we'll have to look into this a lot more. Maybe what I'm saying is foolish. You're right. But I don't know, just somehow I was brought up that Hallelujah is a holy word. It's not holy like a... Did anyone hear this? Am I saying nonsense? Did you hear that you should not say Hallelujah? You say it the way it is, straight out?
Yeah, no, we said Hallelujah.
That's how you always said it? No one ever was taught to say?
When someone is talking about Avodah Zarah, he says Elohim Acherim.
Elohim Acherim, 100%.
You say Elohim, you make Le'Shem Shemayim, you say Elohim.
Right? Correct.
What do you do, what is the default? What is the Stam Elohim?
Elohim.
Stam is,
yeah. I believe so, yes.
Like kids are saying, oh my God.
So okay, that's a separate, that's in English, that's a separate thing. Some people don't want to say that. All right, maybe what I'm saying is foolish. Did anyone ever hear such a thing?
Yeah.
When you grew up, did you say Hallelujah or Hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
You said Ka?
Ka, sure.
Okay, Rab Baruch, what did you say? Hallelujah?
Ka.
Okay, so I'm not the only one. Okay, I'm not the only one. Our Baruch is no lightweight here.
I grew up in a black neighborhood, so you said
Hallelujah. All right, we'll come across this. I grew up that we were taught you don't say it is holy to a degree. It's not holy, 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 but it's holy to a degree, and it should not just be said loosely. I don't know. We'll believe that we have to look into it more. But let's go further than that. Right now, let's do the Rashi. Rashi is about sermon, the trust, mini zemer, nemer, b'sev, zem. B'ni tzuach, b'nigun, b'mizmah, b'shir, b'halal, b'tfil, b'vracha, b'vracha, b'chay, d'bashir, b'haluka. K'neged, who are these 10 different expressions? K'neged, asara, b'nei adam, she'amaruhu, that have expressed these diff songs. Who are the 10 people? Here we go. Adam. We're going to have mizmah, shir, li'ay, mashabas. Who is the one that composed mizmah, shir, li'ay, mashabas? We say every Friday night. Adam HaRishon, okay? Malki Tzedek. We're going to have a mizmor for Malki Tzedek. Avraham. Avraham, I think some say, we'll see Avraham. As we go through, Moshe, David, Shlomo, Osof, Ushloisha, Bnei Karach. The three sons of Karach, each one makes their own appearance. Okay, V'chalukim al Yidusun. Now they are not, they're separate from Yidusun. So with Yidusun, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So the Chalukim al Yidusun, which means Yidusun is not a person. Okay, Yidusun, the Chalukim means they're separate. If you want to say that the Shloisha, the three sons of Korach, are three separate individuals, which we'll come across, the Chalukim al Yidusun, then when you have a Mizmar that is attributed to Yidusun, would be number 11. So what then does it mean Yidusun? So he's going to explain now. Yesh Oimrim. Some say Adam Haya. Some say no, he was a person. The Kamosha Kasa B'divri Hayamim. The Yesh Oimrim. Some say Ein Yidusun Shebesefer Ze Ela Al Shem Hadosois VeHadinim Shel Gezeros. Yidusun means Das. It's like when you get married. Harei At Mikudeshes Li B'Tabazo Kidas Dalid Saf. A law, according to the laws of Moshe the Israel. So when it says word Yidusun, Yidusun is referring to Hadosois VeHadinim Shel Gezero She'avru Allah V'Ali Yisrael. It's referring to David HaMelech, and David is describing when he mentions in the Mizmar Yidusun, he's expressing a psalm to reflect upon the Gezeros, Hashem's Gezeros, it's not a law mamish, but a gezera that Hashem brought upon him, which caused him pain. And he's coming to pray to Hashem. Or when he survives, he overcomes the challenge, he gives praise to Hashem. So
that would default back to David.
Right. It would default back to David. So what he's saying over here, Ness over here, is that we have over here, if you study the Sefer, you're going to see explicitly, they're going to be 10. We have to, of course, figure this out. I know nothing. there are going to be 10 names that are going to be mentioned, 10 mizmarim, which we're going to be able to easily identify as being authored by one of these 10 people. You're going to ask me a question, but we're going to find really 11, because there is a mizmar which is attributed to the person Yedusun, and Yedusun is a person's name. The proof being, we find him in Sefer Divrei Hayomim, so it's not 10, it's 11. So Rashi says, well, that's not so simple. That's not so simple, because there are really two opinions. Yedusun is a person, or Yedusun is an expression, which means, it means gezeros. Laws and gezeros that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he brought upon David. The default is always David, or maybe it refers to the whole world in essence. The whole world, David is just coming to express that I'm now going to pray to Hashem to be mevatel the gezera. I'm going to praise to Hashem that he gave us the strength to overcome and survive the gezera. So Yedusun may be a person, which will then require us to understand that there may be 11 people in this sefer, or Yedusun is just again an expression. Now Rashi seems to say we don't want 11 people. That's no good. We don't want there to be 11 people. 11 is too much. We want there to be 10. Why do we want there to be 10? It's a nice round number. We discussed this yesterday. But more importantly, because we only have one thing no one disagrees with, 10 different types of mine zemer. There are only 10 types of mine zemer. And for some reason, the 10 varieties of zemer, which we have to figure this out, what it means, nitzachoin, nigun, mizmor, shir, halot, tefillah, brach, all these things, it has to correspond to one of these 10 people.
But it seems like Rashi is saying that it is 10. And you do so that you think of somebody else.
Yeah, it's not. Yesh, oh, I didn't realize that. Yesh, I'm Adam Hayuk. Oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake then. I'm sorry. It's not a lot. I made a mistake. I didn't realize what I was reading. I really made a foolish mistake. You're right. Yesh, I'm Adam. Right. So therefore, there's definitely not more than 10. You're right, I made a mistake. So Yedus is just another name for Adam.
Or
it's not a person. It's David. The default goes back to David. And it's describing David in his experience of dealing with the gezeros of Hashem. Excellent. Okay, thank you for that correction. Now let's go. Ashrei ha'ish, okay, Rashi over here, b'chol, ishurav shel ish usihi lo yisof. Now, if not for the Mitzvah's David, I would not have appreciated what Rashi really is saying. Rashi is really saying the Mitzvah's David is really drawing from Rashi, but sometimes you need a Mitzvah's David to make sure you really understand what Rashi is saying. Same idea, the ishurav shel ish, the praises. We're going to translate the word Ishurav to mean the praises of man. Usihilas of two words which really mean the same thing. Shel Adam, what is the ultimate shevach that we can say about a person? It's not what he did, it's what he did not do. Because a human being is vulnerable. He yetzer leiv ha'adam ra min urav. And for a person to overcome the yetzer hara, that is the ikur praise of man. Eluhem asher lo halach batzas reshoim ki mitoch shlo halach. And because he did not, Rashi comes to explain.
Hold it a second. One of the things that's bothering me is talking about the praises of man, the things that he doesn't do. Okay, we have Mio Yishachov Yishayim. It says Sur Meira, but that's not enough. I say tov. No, but one second. I think that we're stopping too soon, because this Mizmor, it says, who is Asher? Maybe you can read it like this. Who is the one that we're praising, Ashrei Yish? You know, like Rashi and the Tzudas. Lo hom lach biasas v'shoim, derech hatoam lo lomad, Moshe v'dosem v'yoshov, kiyim v'teiros Hashem chepto, that's positive, v'teiros o yege yomom v'loilo. It's the whole package.
I know, but what comes first?
What?
It's...
What did he
write? What comes first?
Package.
Part of... Okay, I agree.
The truck is empty. In other words, I didn't get any tickets.
But what is the ikar?
I came all the way from California with a truckload. I didn't get any tickets.
Listen, of course.
Well, let's see what you got there.
Of course, what you're saying is true, because we know that when we go to a funeral, achamev eshem of a person, we know that the no one's going to say, oh, he did not do averes. They're going to say all of the good things. But the very fact that David in this pasuk, he connects ashrei ha'ish. And the very first words that come out, that's all I really meant, is the ikur essence of a person is his success in not listening to the Yetzer Hara.
I think we're stopping too soon. Some Rabbi Yasei Tov. The pasuk continues.
Once you're not going to listen to the Yetzer Hara, the male are you going to do good? The male are you going to be doing good? Okay, I hear, I hear. I always tell you all from the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish was asked about you to give a bracha for children. Parents should be mispal for children. And the Chazon Ish, his motto was, you don't have to be mispalel for children that they should be Yirei Shamayim, they should be Talmidei Chachamim, they should be successful. The Iker Tefillah a parent should be mispalel for his child is he should not be distracted. You should not fall under the influence of evil of evil. And as long as a child is protected, it is natural he will develop to be what he's meant to be. Problem is, we live in a world where the distractions are overwhelming.
As a product of his environment.
And he himself composed a nusach that women would recite Friday night, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should protect their children from influences, from situations and influences that they're vulnerable. They see candy, you want the candy, you follow the candy, and once you eat the candy, you're in a lot of trouble. If a child would not have been, had not fallen into that trap, it's natural for the child to develop into a Yirei Shamayim, into a Talmud Chacham. If you're going to let the child fall into the trap and then send down into the trap tutors and prizes and Torah and Yirei, it's not going to help. If the child already is stuck in the dungeon totally overwhelmed with the Yetzer Hara, sending him the best tutor in the world and sending him on the best and all, you know, giving him all the bells and whistles of what Klal Yisrael has to offer, it's not going to help. The Iker is protect him from situations and an environment that's not in his best interest, and memela he will understand, he'll come to appreciate the Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and be a good person.
Basically saying the absence of bed is automatically good.
Well, the Chazon Ish seems to say that.
Right,
obviously, you have to take it with a grain of salt, okay? Obviously, you know, it's not so simple. Obviously. But what is the Iker and what is the Tafel? So the average person thinks the Iker is let the kid do whatever he wants to do. Let him do whatever he wants to do. Let him, you know, who cares? And then just make sure you send him to the best yeshiva. You send him to the best yeshiva, and you give him the best education, and you give him all the resources that he can possibly need to become the Gadol Hadar, but that's only from 9 to 5. But at home, when he comes home, after yeshiva's over, and on the weekend, you do whatever. Let him do whatever he wants. Let him make his own decisions. Let him do whatever he wants. Let him go with his friends. Let him go watch television. Let him go do this. Let him go do that. Because I am providing him, when he goes to yeshiva, he goes to the best yeshiva, he has the best rabbi, they have all PhDs, and they know how to educate, and they have ruach, their spirit, and they do this, it's not going to work. The Chazon Ish says it's not going to work. The Chazon Ish, you cannot compete. You cannot compete with the Koyach of Ra. The Koyach of Ra is so overwhelming. The Koyach of Ra will win against the best rabbi in the world. The best rabbi in the world cannot compete with what the world has to offer in the Koyach HaTumah. So therefore, you have to protect him from the Koyach HaTumah. Protect him doesn't mean you have to stifle him, you have to go and make his life miserable. But the Iker problem of, as the Chazon Ish says, is why children do not succeed to the degree that they should, that they can, is because they are being pulled by the Koyach of Ra. The influence of society is so powerful and so delicious and so endearing, it just prevents the child from naturally developing into who he should be. The solution is not give him more Torah, give him more trips, another Shabbaton, another prize, another Rebbe, another good thing. That's not going to help. You don't need to have all these extra things. All you need is just make sure he's not watching television 7 hours a day.
But those are the distractions to stay away from the bed.
the Shabbatons and the prizes.
Maybe, okay, so maybe you're right. Maybe, you may be right to a degree, maybe you're right.
There is a proof. Moshe, when he changes the name of Yehoshua, says, Ka Yoshiacha Me'atzat
Me'aglim. Exactly, see,
so
exactly.
We see that the negative is...
It's very powerful.
He did say, Hashem Yiten Lecha Eitzat Tova.
Exactly. Hashem Yit... Right.
Me'atzat Me'aglim.
I told you the story many...
Don't do the negative.
I told you the story a couple of times. I have a friend, he has a child, he lives in Muncie. And every night this kid, he goes to a very good school months, and every night the kid comes with 20 sheets. You have to sign, I didn't watch television. I didn't talk Lashon Hara. I didn't fight with my brothers and sisters. I didn't do this, I didn't do this, I didn't do this. So open school night, PTA, he comes to the Rebbe and he says, what is this Mishagas? Every night, 20 sheets, he didn't do this, he didn't do this, he didn't do this. Why don't you give me 20 sheets? I said, Kriya Shema. I did. I played nice with my brothers and sisters. I did my homework. I did. I davened Maariv. I helped my mother clean up from supper. Why don't we have sheets that I should sign that he did something good instead of signing 20 sheets that he didn't do? He didn't do 20 averus. What's going on over here? So the Rebbe, he told me, the Rebbe was like, you know, you're right. You got me. You got me. And then the Rebbe sits back and he says, you know, you got a good point. And he said, the way he says, but you know something, I'll tell you something. In the Torah, there are 365 lois asays and only 248 asays. There are more negative commandments in the Torah than there are positive commandments in the Torah. So you see, the Torah also, to a degree, emphasizes the negative. Look at David. Asher loy holach ba'atzas rishon. We don't want to hear this today. In our generation, it's all about the good, the good, the good, the good, the good, the good. But you know, we're not doing so good. We have a lot of problems. Maybe the old-fashioned way is, you know, don't just ignore the problems.
In that story, which is better, not fighting with my siblings or playing with my siblings?
Oh, obviously there's a balance. Obviously.
No, it's better not, just don't fight with them.
It's a very delicate balance that the world has been struggling with from time immemorial. And obviously in every generation, in every year, the balance, the bar has to be shifted a little here, a little there, a little there. It swings back and forth as time goes on. Obviously these are very complicated things. But look what it says over here. Everyone over here says in the pasuk, he didn't start off Ashrei ho'ish, asher, Rabbi Mintz, he didn't say over here, Ashrei ho'ish, that Torah Hashem chetzoi uvitoros yagim v'layla, and eloi holach batzas rishon.
We have to explain that. It also says Sumei Rav Asay
Tov. The order.
Why is Sumei Rav Asay?
First.
Yeah, because you gotta get all the junk out, and then you can get the Torah in.
It's easy, you know, it's easy to do good. If a person has $1 million, has infinite money, it's not so hard when you have money that you didn't make, and the money just comes and, okay, give me some cover, make a building, put my name on it. It's a lot harder to overcome the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara pulls you in to be able to go against.
That's why it's worse.
Man is naturally bad. Ki Yetzer Lev Ha'adam Ra Min Uraf. I will always say, the world, we're brainwashed as children, and I don't know anymore, because children have a whole different world today. But when we were children, there was always the forces of evil and the force of good. All the cartoons, all of the entertainment for children, they present B'chivach 50-50, and they always show, at the end of the day, the forces of good are going to win. It's Sheker. It's not so. Superman doesn't win. Superman loses. The Koyach of Ra is much, much more powerful than good. In this world, you look around, Ra will always win. Ra is much, much more powerful than good. The only way to overcome the Koyach of Ra is Siyata D'Shmaya. Is Tefillah, Ki Atem Hama'at. Our whole existence is Shloi Kiderech HaTeva. The world is infinitely more powerful than us. How is it possible we're still here today 1,952 years after the Korban Bayis Shem. How even anything before that? How did we survive? The koyach of Ra is overwhelming. It's only because Siyata D'Shmaya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, helps us. And if not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's not like, oh, there's Ra and Toiv, and if man has in him Toiv, he'll overcome. No, if you take God out of the equation, then Toiv is gone. That's part of the problem is in the secular society. America used to be a religious country. And America used to be a religious country, so you have good and bad. So the good will win. You know why the good will win? Because the good is God. In God we trust. There is an element of God in this country. So if you have God in the country, that's right. Everything will be okay. At the end of the day, all the problems will be solved because the good includes God. And Ra is the absence. But today, unfortunately, in this country, there's no God. God is out. So therefore, it's what is this good and bad? What is good even? How do you even define good? There's no God, there's no good.
But it's not God.
Okay, let's go further a little bit more. Now, before we go further, I want to make one more point. This Rashi, again, a little more time, we really should on this Mizmar. The word Ashrei. Some want to suggest, it's a very interesting, the word Ashrei is related to the word steps. Your steps. Ashua. In the Simpsons Zakenin, he rejects this. And whenever you find someone suppressing, like today, if you censor something, if you cancel, you censor, you suppress, what does that tell you? It tells you there's something over here that someone's trying to hide from us. That's very, very important. So the Simpsons Zakenin and others as well, they're very rough in telling, don't make a mistake and think the word Ashrei means steps. Ashurov. Let me find the word. There's a pasuk that actually used the word.
Where is
this? Strides. Okay, I'm looking over here, the Sifsei Zakenin. It's let's see, Loi Simad Ashurov. Koinein Ash, to establish Ashuroi, my steps. There's a pasuk later on, Mizmar Mem. Koinein, to establish Ashuroi, my steps. I'm reading in the Sifsei, no, it's not important. The Sifsei Zakenin. The Sifsei Zakenin. Oh, yes, Aleph. But somebody quotes a whole number of psukim where the word Ashurov, the word Aleph Shin Reish, is used in a different form to mean your strides, your steps. And if you take that interpretation and inject it into this word, it would be Ashrei Ho'ish. You would have to loosely translate it, is that the proper steps of man is his way in life, the way he should walk in this world is by not following the Atzas Rishoim. It makes a lot of sense because we have the word Loi Holach.
And Ubederech.
And the right, Holach and the Derech and where he sits. So then, since we're talking about a road, and we're talking about your direction on the road, and we're talking about your destination, the Moshav is your destination, so then when the Pasuk begins, Ashrei Ho'ish, it's telling us that the strides of man is now standing on the road, and he's traveling, and he can travel, go to the left, go to the right, and he can take advice, should I go on this road? You gotta cross crossroads. Should I go down, should I take 95, or should I take another road, whatever it is. Should I go this way, that way? How should I go? Coney Avenue, Ocean Avenue, which way should I go? Which direction? So if there is a Russia that will tell you, take this road. And where is that going to bring you? What destination will you come to? You'll come to the Moshav, your destination will be the Moshav Leitzin. So that's a whole new interpretation. Now we hear the Sifsei Zakenin coming to suppress this interpretation. Obviously, I couldn't find it on the page. It was all in the first year. I couldn't find it, at least on the page over here. But that when someone's telling you that this is not the pshat, you can be certain that there's going to be someone out there that's going to tell you that this is the pshat. Why are you coming to hide this from us? And that is taka very interesting. Is telling you that Ashrei Ho'ish. Ho'ish with the Hey Hayidia here means, it will answer Michal's question, why is there Ish? Why does it say the Ho'ish and not Ish? What is the Hey Hayidia? So according to what the way Rashi and the Mitzudas of it explained, we are describing somebody. There is an individual who is there on the side, is on the side, and we, the audience, the observers, the outsiders, are coming to evaluate him, to assess him. Ashrei, the qualities, the good qualities of that ish, ha-ish, is that he overcame his Yetzirah. That's what Rashi and Mitzudas. But there's another approach. And the approach is that Hei Haidia appears to refer to a tzaddik, to a good person. And the good person, we're not praising you. Praise, leave the praise for Hashem. You want to praise man? In the next world. This is not a world where human beings receive praise. It's a very strong question. What is David doing? David's coming to praise people. In this world, does anyone get what they deserve? This is not a world of reward. No one gets what they deserve in this world. This world, anyone who tries to get a reward in this world just gets bezionis. You can't acquire covet. It's a gift. If Hashem gives a person covet, it's a gift. You can't pursue honor in this world. It's impossible. So what is David doing here? David's coming to go give praise to individuals. So the other approach is, we're not giving praise. We're talking about a good person, a person who's ho'ish. He knows he has values in life. He has the right values. We're not giving him any praise. We are describing this good person. How does he travel in life? What are the his strides, his steps? What do they look like? So the ashrei ho'ish, the strides, the steps of a good, solid, honest man is those steps. He comes to the crossroads. Which road should I go? Should I go left or right? And there are people there giving him advice. One, the devil says, go to the left. And the good person says, go to the right. Asher loy holach ba'atzas rishoyin. The counselors who tell him how his strides should appear, should they go left or right, I don't listen to him. But instead, I listen to the tzaddik, and they tell me which road. And even when I'm told on where to go, I don't travel on the wrong roads. I don't hang out in the wrong places. And when I reach my destination, the moshav zikleitin, that's your destination where you finally come to reach your destination, I don't go to a moshav, travel on a road to reach a destination of leitzim, lo yoshav. That's a whole different approach. It answers the question of why we're giving praise to a person. And the word ashrei, aleph shel resh, indeed in the sefer itself, in numerous places, means a person's steps, his strides, not in this grammatical form. A different grammatical form, but diktuk never held us back and doesn't hold back. Many of the commentators are not held back. Let's do a little more Rashi before we conclude for today. Okay, asher l'Rashi, asher l'Halach b'atzas rishon Rashi, in the bottom of the page, he did not go b'atzas rishoim, ki mitoich sheloi halach, loy omon. This is a process. One thing leads to my father would always say the slippery slope. Once you start, you do one step, it automatically leads into the next step. A person will not find himself on a derech rishaim unless he was first nichshal in halach. It's only if you start going ba'atzas rishaim, that's when you're going to find yourself on the derech of the chatoim. And only when you find yourself on the derech chatoim are you going to find yourself in the moishav leitzim. Asher lo yalach b'atzas rishoyim, ki mitoich sheloi holach loi omod, u mitoich sheloi omad lo yoshav. And in leitzim, he tells what leitzim, Rebbe Chol, you want to tell us what leitzim is in old French?
Well, usually, no, unfortunately, I don't have the Judaica Press Tehillim. Usually, I'm sorry, you're asking about this Rashi, right?
This list, yeah, okay, whatever it is.
I tried, but I can't make it out.
Okay, so whatever, so the Yesod of Rashi is telling us that it will never happen. It will never happen to a person that he just one day wakes up and he finds himself in the Moshav Leitzin. Doesn't happen. Impossible. It's an impossibility to wake up one day and find yourself in the Moshav Leitzin. The only way you got there is because you did something in the before. You would travel in the derech of the chatoim. And the only way a person finds himself in Derech Chatham is only because he was halach batzas rishon. This is a process. You don't reach the end of the process unless you've gone through the steps. That's what Rashi has come to us. Okay, let's go to the Pasuk Kiyim, the Pasuk Beis, page 6. We'll come back and discuss a few little things when we finish the Mizmar. Kiyim b'toras Hashem chetzoi. Rather, this individual, the only thing that he wants is the Toras Hashem is chetzoi. Very good segue from Trei Asar to Tehillim. The last pasuk of the last psukim of Trei Asar was Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi, and here is that person, that same person that was Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi, kim b'Toras Hashem chetzoi is his desire. And now here it says repeats the word Torah, but here it calls it Torah Soy. Why? In the beginning of the passage, they say the word Torah Hashem, and now it's Torah Soy. So we'll see Rashi in a moment. Yege, what is the word Yege? It's a very hard word to translate, to meditate in Torah Soy Yege. Yoimam Voloila Rashi, Kim Torah Hashem Chavso, Holomadita, Shemoysa, Shemoyshav. So here's the chiddush. When we come now to contrast, key in the juxtaposition of the amoshav leitzim with key in b'taras Hashem chetzoi. This is the diametric opposite. Is associating with leitzim will take away, will negate. Well, everything that it says of it, Kiyim is the complete opposite. Who you associate with makes all the difference in the world. Kiyim b'Toras Hashem Chetzoi. In order that a person should be a person that his desire is Toras Hashem, uvi Toraso Yege, he should meditate in this Torah, Yom Laila, he better make sure he's not part of a Moshav Leitzim. Rashi, the moment is very powerful. Rashi, Lamata Shemoshav Leitzim, maybe Lidei Bittel Torah. First, the pasuk calls it Toras Hashem. Umishomal. After a person studies, and toils in the Toras Hashem, but he nikreis Torasoy, it becomes his. We do this every single time we get an aliyah. You make the brach, Baruch Atah Hashem Kemal Hashem Bachar Banim Kol Hamim. V'nasan lanu es Torasoy, Hashem's Torah. And then we did the bracha acharoina, asher nosan lanu toiras emes. What happened to toiras soy? When the made the bracha acharoina, asher bocha, what do we call him? Nosan lanu es toiras soy. It's Hashem's Torah. And now it's toiras emes. You don't say it's Hashem's anymore. The answer is after you learn the Torah, you get the aliyah. And you read what it says in the Torah, it now becomes yours. It's exactly what we hear.
The reading of the Torah becomes yours.
Mitchilah nikreis Torah Hashem, Mishomal Bohim nikreis Torah Soy. Yege, what does it mean the word Yege? Yege means to think, to meditate. There's a whole arichas over here on what is the difference between Mechashev and Yege. Kol Lashoin Hei Gimel Hei. The shorish of this word, Balev. Balefu, the letters Hey Gimel Hey in any of its forms always refers to what is happening in a person's heart. Kimo da'at Omar, the Hegyoin Levi, Yilratzon Imreifim, Hegyoin Levi, the same Shoresh, Hey Gimel Hey, Livcha Yege Ema, your heart will contemplate fear. Kishoid Yege Libam, destruction, their heart will be terrified. With the possibility that there will be destruction. Every time you find the word yege, you find it in connection to the heart. So here it says Rashi is adding something. Rashi over here is adding a dimension that he would not say that you would not otherwise know. Because if you read this passage, I translated the words yege to meditate. That's not really a good translation. Because meditate, I think for the average person, I don't know what it says in the Oxford Unabridged Dictionary of the English language, but the word yege, I think most would meditate refers to the mind. There's no connection to the heart. Heart always connotes emotion. You know, what's the chilek between a litvak and a chassid? What's the real chilek between a litvak and a chassid? We have any chassidim over here? I don't want to insult any chassidim litvaks. A litvak, they both wear gartos. A litvak and a chassid both wear gartos. What's the difference? What's the difference? Wait, let me say. We're gonna fit it. What's the chilul? Wait, let me say my. Let me say my point. A litvak wears the garto between the erva and the heart. Don't let the gashmius of man affect the lave. The lave. A litvak also wears a garto. What am I wearing right here?
Around the neck.
A tie.
Around the neck.
It's a garto. Where's the garto going to litvak? Around the neck. Don't let the heart affect the mind. Okay? A litvak is mafrid between the mind and the heart. Okay? A chosid, there's no hevdo. The whole mind and the heart is one. It's the gashmis. The garto is the look. I'm not even joking. There's a lot of depth. I mean, it's a little bit of a joke, but there's a lot of depth to this. There's a lot of depth to this in the litvisha mahalech, is an intellectual mahalech. And they say to the heart, go into solitary confinement. Get out of here. It's a intellectual approach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to a large degree. Okay, Hasidim don't like that. Hasidim want the heart to play a much greater role in their religious service. Let the heart overflow and give direction to the mind. There has to be an emotion in the intellectual approach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here we have a word. Ki b'toras Hashem chefetzon. Chefetz, see Rashi over here is not coming to tell us the word chefetz. See, if not for Rashi, I would have thought, not for Rashi, there are two, there is chefetz and there is yegen. Chefetz, we find by Shechem. Shechem said to Yaakov's brother, to Yaakov's children, he wants to marry Dina. And he used their three words. Chefetz, cheshek. There's another word, I don't remember all the words. But one of the words he says, the words chefetz. Yes, and that in that context, Shechem wanting to marry Dina is obviously an emotion. He was emotionally attached to her.
A desired object.
Desired object. That's the heart. So it says, Ki mitoras Hashem chetzo, the heart. And then it says, Uvisoyroso yege, if not for Rashi, according to all of many of the English translations. The word yege means to meditate, the mind. The question over here is why is the pasuk broken into two parts? Why is there the Torah Hashem Cheftzoi and then Uvisoy Rasoi? So Rashi holds a drush. Rashi says when you first it's Hashem's Torah. When you omal va Torah, then it becomes Torah Soi. Put that aside. You can say we're dealing here with the heart. The Torah is an object of desire, as Rabbi Chol said. Uvisara so yege, he meditates in the mind. There's a combination of heart and mind, yoimam volayla.
This
expression is a
battle for the heart.
That's what Rashi's saying. So Rashi, if not for Rashi, I would have suggested that the word chefetz is the heart, and the word yege, as they translate, No, so it's, what's then the chiluk? Why is the pasuk repeating itself twice? That's like, if not for Rashi, and that's what Rashi is coming to reject. But if not for Rashi, we say simply, chayfetz, in Torah there is the emotion, and then there is the intellect. Chayfetz is the emotion, and yege is the intellect. Along comes Rashi. Rashi rejects this. Rashi does not translate the word chayfetz. Rashi just says, yege, don't make any mistake about it, it means the heart. Uvitayraso yege yomim v'layla, and then both expressions appear to relate to the heart. Okay, last thing we conclude is that this Rashi is very, very powerful, and this is I know someone told me he has a lot of children, and sons and daughters, and he's totally now his kids are all already finished with school, and he told me that when he put his kids in school, his sons and daughters, he's clueless. Which yeshiva to put his kids in. Totally clueless. Should they go to Tar Vadas, near yeshiva, Varetsky, Chavetz Chaim, Chaim Berlin, girls, you get a whole choice. You go to Masoris, Prospect Park, I don't even know all these schools. Totally clueless. So he told this to me, and it made an impression upon me, and I saw this to other people. Some of them, they disagree, some of them agree. And he said he went to an expert, a professional, and he told him as follows. Yeshivas, in this neighborhood, in this community in Flatbush, every single yeshiva is identical. There is absolutely no difference between Torah Vedas, Chaim Berlin, Torah Tanima, Veretsky, Chofetz Chaim, the list goes on and on. Every single boy's yeshiva is literally identical. Okay, one is going to be a little bit more Hasidish, one a little more Litvish, one a little more this, that. All of these differences, that they're so negligible. What's the chilek? What's critical for you to make a decision is who will be his friends. The chaverim will make a world of a difference. Girls, so he told me that. He says, the friends are, of course, very, very important. But girls, the nature of the girls' school for this neighborhood, they're very much affected and influenced by the administration, by the teachers. And each school has a different type of hashkafa, different type of teachers, principals, and v'chulu v'chulu. So obviously a student is a product of his friends and of his teachers. By boys, the major influence are the chaverim. The girls, the major influence is the institution. Of course, they have friends. But the friends are secondary to the hashkafa, to the influence of the institution itself. So Rashi here, Mamish says this word, at least by the boys. It says over here, uv'moshav leitzim lo yoshav. And then it says, kim b'toiras Hashem chetzoy. And Rashi makes a drasha. He makes a drasha. And it says, these two psukim are totally zeh b'zeh. If you're going to sit, now doesn't Rashi say who your Rosh Hashiva is, who your Rebbe is, who the Menahel is? Doesn't say that. It says, the Moshav Leitzim, the Chaverim. Who are your Chaverim? Your Chaverim are good, solid people. It's going to be Taras Hashem Chafsa. For Achmona Litzlan, it's going to be Moshav Leitzim, the Chaverim, the environment, are people that are not the best people, then you're in danger. You're in danger. It can lead, Rashi's words, holomadita, from this juxtaposition of these two concepts we learn, hale shemoyshav haleitzim mivioi lidei bitul Torah. Bitul Torah doesn't just mean you're not a mas, but it means, you know, I'm not interested. Chaverim make a world of a difference. It is so, so true. Look back and see, who are your chaverim? Sometimes you don't have the best Rebbe, you don't have the best resources, you don't have the best, a lot of things, not every year, not every yeshiva has the money to have the resource rooms and rebbeim and this and that. But if you have a good chevron, a chevron, Yireh Shamayim, it's a world of a difference. If you have a chevron, you know, their minds are, you know, they're other places. Come with us, let's go here, let's go there. Even if you'll have the best rebbeim hacking away and teaching you and doing this, chaverim make a world of a difference. Mamash, what it says over here in this Rashi, the juxtaposition of these two sukkahs. Okay, we'll stop here. Take a short break. After break, a very interesting topic today.